Welcome along to the first ever standalone review for the Countdown Movie and TV Reviews podcast. My name is Paul.
And my name is Wayne. What's up, y'all?
That's right. As you're all now aware, the show has split into two. So today, the Saturday of the week, usually, we are dropping our feature review. And this week, it is Aquaman.
Aquaman.
From director James Wan, one of our hometown heroes here.
Yeah, he's from our hood, y'all.
That's correct. It's obviously the sixth film in the DCEU with the screenplay by David Leslie Johnson McGoldrick and Will Beale, from a story by Will Beale, James Wan, and Jeff Johns. It is 143 minutes long, and it was made for somewhere between $160 and $200 million, and thus far has already garnered around the world, because Australia was one of the last places it opened.
Is it?
$666 million, with the vast bulk of that coming out of China.
Really?
Mm.
Wait, how much was it cost?
$160 to $200, so this is already a massive, massive hit.
Good for Aquaman. Okay, that's kind of cool. Well, you know what it's about?
Do tell.
It's about, well, actually, you know what? I want to tell the listeners something here. Can I just talk to you over here for a second, listeners? Paul, just chill.
What?
All right, everyone, I happen to have some information here. It's exclusive for you.
Okay.
I happen to know that Aquaman was Paul's favorite character from the Super Friends cartoon. Remember the Super Friends cartoon? Back in that version, he was blonde, clean-shaven, and when he talks to the fish, little concentric rings appear, and it sounds like this. Remember that shit? That was Paul's favorite.
I absolutely did think that it's fair to say Aquaman.
I'm glad you got to use that.
That's right. Welcome back to the soundboard. Of course, we'll be here for the future reviews.
Oh, God, I forgot. This thing would be only stupid. Oh, fuck. Sorry, everyone. Okay. Now, Aquaman. His father is a lighthouse keeper. His mother is Atlantean royalty. Together, they made Arthur Curry, who's Aquaman. And like all highborn Atlanteans, he can exist on land and under the sea.
In a throwaway line that they mention once in the entire movie.
Which, you know, it's important that it's there. I need to understand exactly what the rules are.
Sure.
Aquaman has a half-brother who still lives in the sea, and he's going to wage a huge war against the surface dwellers. So Aquaman has to go down there, challenge his brother's ass to a duel so he can win the throne and avert the war, and that's some superhero shit right there. So the movie unfolds with Aquaman's quest to win the throne, which also involves him finding some special trident which will somehow solve all of his problems.
As it does.
Yeah.
As all MacGuffins will.
Yeah. Now, we usually start with these things. I want to ask you what you think, Paul.
Yeah, sure.
I'm very interested here.
I did forget to mention the cast. Jason Momoa, Patrick Wilson is the half-brother. Amber Heard is the love interest motivator, Nicole Kidman, Tamua Morrison as well. And who am I missing? Anyone else important? No, one dude I should mention, because he's going to come in for a fucking more of a mention shortly, Yanya Abdul-Mateen II.
Oh, really?
He was playing Black Mantis.
Black Mantis. Manta.
Yes.
Manta.
Manta?
Yeah.
Manta. Not Manta. Oh, shit. Okay, I'm going to amend my written review. Oh, and Dolph Lundgren. How could we forget
him? Oh, God, Dolph Lundgren. Yes, that was a big one.
Dolph Lundgren was great. It was nice to see him in here.
Actually, he was great.
Okay, Aquaman, as an overall, I think it is exceptionally fun. And were it not for James Wan leaning so hard into the fun, this film would have been an absolute train wreck. As it stands, I enjoyed it and would recommend it to anyone who likes superhero movies.
Whoa! Whoa, really?
Wayne is shocked. He's looking at me like I've got two heads.
No, I don't. This is not how this was supposed to go.
No?
I saw this movie. We didn't see it together, of course.
No, we didn't.
I walked out of it and went, oh, he's going to fucking wipe it out. No, he's going to shit all over it.
I think this film blew by. I was genuinely shocked. I watched this movie and 140 minutes just flew by. 130 before the credits began.
Really?
Yeah, it's dumb as all fuck. You have to.
No.
You
that's
have
not the
to
problem.
Detach brain.
Absolutely.
If you give this one iota of thought, normally this is enough for me, you're right, to bag a film out on. But because it's a superhero movie, it gets away with a lot more of dumb shit. Like things like, only the highborn Atlanteans in one throwaway line can breathe the air. So that all the other dudes, when they come up to the surface,
they have to, use this
they
like
have, to have
apparatus.
Like, tanks of water in their face, which makes for some interesting action scenes. And this film is all about the action.
No, okay. Wow. Really?
Yep. And how good it looks. The visual stylings, and some of the CG, especially the de-aging, is extremely ropey. Extremely.
It's not like Marvel, is it?
Nowhere near as good.
It's not like bloody
Whatever
Marvel.
Technology Marvel is employing, DC have not got their grubby little hands
no.
on it at all. However, look past all that. The
it's
color
possible.
Correction, the beautiful undersea sort of sequences, which are lit so gorgeously. But most importantly, the star of this film, yes, it's Jason Momoa. Yes, he has a roguish charm. Yes, he kind of carries it all with his good looks and kind of like, yeah,
I'm cool.
But it's actually James Wan. James Wan's direction through the action scenes is superb.
Okay, that was a surprise.
That's me. What about you?
I'm going to say to you, first of all, the action scenes in this, the fight sequences, are among the best of the year, no doubt, for me.
And I think the best of the DCEU.
Probably. That's this swiveling around when they're busting tridents on each other's dick and shit. That's fucking sweet, right? So that's all good, all right? And I must have, look, and first of all, let me just say this. You can only do so much with an Aquaman movie. I think you will. All right? The guy's under the fucking sea, and he's probably the lamest of the characters, all right? And also...
Whoa, hey.
I know,
hey,
not hey, to Paul, hey. Not to Paul.
Back off a little bit, eh?
Well, here's the thing, though, right? He's under the water, right? So there's already a detachment between you and that world as a viewer, okay? So he's a tough nut to crack. So I understand that, okay? Makes sense we'd need to know Aquaman's origin story, and it was handled deftly enough to be interesting, so that's fine. Then, you know, we also see him being heroic and somewhat cool. That's fine, too. This is the problem, right?
You can narrow it down to one.
Yeah, I can. After that first act, which felt kind of like a second act, the movie just gets massively bogged down. This is my problem. I'm watching it and I'm like, okay, this is really cool. He's like, you know, he's wicked, and I'm liking the fact that he's playing just a normal guy. He's like, you know, he's not being a...
I don't want to be your...
Yeah, exactly. And he's just a guy, right? And he seems like he's happy to... He seems like he enjoys being Aquaman, which is the best thing about any character, okay? But then this whole shit happens where he's got to find a trident. And there's
it's the MacGuffin.
Dude, that part of the movie, we'd already seen a very significant fight right before it's turned out that he has to go on this. And him going on a quest to see this fucking...
Yeah.
That pulled me out of the fucking... It bogged
what?
Along.
No.
I was very, very aware that I was just being clumsily pushed into the next scene and the next scene and the next scene and the next
so
scene.
So clumsily, you knocked
the
mic.
That I hit the knock, right? Exactly. That is the only problem with this movie, but it's a big problem, see? It's like, I don't know.
I think the film has way more problems than what you're talking about, but I like... So
really? So wait, but it sounds
experience.
Like you liked it, though.
Yeah, the problems of the film are Legion.
Okay, this is better. I thought you loved it.
No, I liked the film.
All right.
But it's not a good film.
Okay. Well,
it has.
It's not a good film, is
it's
it?
It's terribly written. Really terrible. The dialogue is awful. Black Manta, or whatever the hell his name is one of the worst actors to have ever taken this film. His performance is so cringeworthy. Like every beat on his face is exaggerated.
Who wrote the movie? Who wrote the fucking movie? Was it James? It wasn't James Wan.
They
right?
wrote the story. James Wan, Jeff Johns,
okay,
and
the script,
Will Beale.
The script
is awful.
Everyone, the script involves. There's a sequence near the beginning, right, where. Pirates are trying to take over a U-boat.
Oh, God.
All right? And so...
Permission to come aboard.
That was all... That part was actually fine. The part before that, where they just take out all these people in the fucking crew, and then somehow find the time when taking over a fucking military U-boat to have this father-son conversation about, here's the knife your granddad gave me.
God.
And I'm like, what the
so
fuck?
Dumb.
And I was like, what is this shit, right? And that whole thing was bullshit, right? So that
as
sucks.
was the fact that okay, so Aquaman's bulletproof. That's what we can glean.
I found that out on this movie.
Yeah, I wasn't aware of that.
He's bulletproof, but he's not old person knife proof.
Well, that was a special.
No. There was an Atlantean blade that cut him first.
Yes,
and then that Black Manta's knife, which I went back and researched.
Yeah.
Is nothing special unless that knife
dumb.
Happens to be Atlantean
again,
steel.
Then that's really dumb.
Which could happen. Like,
okay,
his grandfather.
It did have the big
manta.
On
it. Yeah. Here's the thing, right? Black Manta is, whatever, in the comic, right? Has that massive, ridiculous head. Right?
Oh, God, he looks stupid.
Okay, now let me tell you this, right? This
You're
was
right,
always
Black
the
Manta.
Yeah, this is really old. Like, this is the problem with this Black Manta character. This is why you've never seen him on the screen before. Because how the fuck do you have a dickhead with it? And if you see the cartoon, you see animation of this, the head is three times bigger.
Yeah, I have to say, this is living proof that what works in one medium doesn't work in another.
Absolutely, but the thing is, the fans of Aquaman, like yourself, would really want this. So the way that they actually explained why his helmet is so big is because the converter that fires things out of his eyes will break a normal-sized helmet. I actually thought that was quite a good explanation.
Still looks daft.
It looks daft.
When he came on the scene in the big action sequence in the Sahara, oh boy, I was laughing so hard.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
See, you know what was good about that scene? There's a scene where, yeah, there's a lot of one shots where the camera sweeps through two different, three,
it
five different
connects
actions.
Two different actions.
That is pure cinematography kind of.
James
like,
Wan. James
that
Wan.
Guy is good
this
at that.
This guy did Furious 7 and obviously the Insidious films and the original Saw films, but particularly in Furious 7, a lot of the similar kinetic camera techniques were in the action scenes. And he's taken all that wealth of experience from that big budget film and brought it to Aquaman and lended that sensibility to it right from the opening scene, or virtually opening scene, where Nicole Kidman gets this really cool action sequence with this awesome, you know, high angle looking down as she's
really
spinning
cool.
around
really
taking
cool.
care of all these Atlantean
yeah,
guards.
She's a queen, yeah,
her.
She'll fuck you up.
Yep.
It's good shit. See, that's all wicked. I reckon the Nicole Kidman bit's all good, right? It's just that the movie felt long to me, man. It felt really long.
I was genuinely surprised.
That's what I'm surprised about you. Because the thing is, once I realized, uh-oh, we're going to have to wait until he gets this thing before that thing happens, the other thing happens, I'm like, uh-oh, we got like a whole other act of this shit to go.
Our regular listeners will be well aware that I'm comfortable with long. You're a little bit not so certain
about
it. I have a
low, low fucking attention span. It's tiny. It's tiny.
It's not related to anything else.
It really is. Okay, so I understand that. And I wish I was a more patient viewer. I wish I was less of an imbecilic.
That's harsh. Not imbecilic. You're just a bit more sophisticated. That's what you're aiming
for. The thing is, the soul of brevity is wit. Sorry, the soul of wit is brevity. I can't remember. One of those.
One of those two. Brilliant. The soul
of wit. Cocaine is a hell of a drug.
The soul of wit is brevity, all right? Brevity is the soul of wit. So, that's the actual Oscar Wilde. Anyway.
Now I've established that. Well done. There's your education for today. Good listen. Right. Well, look, let's end the spoilers.
No, no. I just want to move on to one thing.
Non-spoilers? Yeah.
Yeah. Amber Heard?
Yes.
Sucks.
Ooh. Now, I'll tell you what, did suck, their chemistry.
Their chemistry or lack thereof. Their chemistry is bullshit, all right?
It was terrible.
There is some fucking cheese in this movie, all right? They go into, where was the, is it Italy or someplace?
Oh,
right?
It becomes a national treasure movie for about 30 minutes.
It becomes them wandering through this European holiday, right? And it's like this fucking soft music playing.
What was it? Was it Roy Orbison? The soundtrack in this film is fucking awful.
Shit else.
It's really, really bad. So bad, in fact, that Pitbull pops up with a cover of a classic
Pitbull
song.
Pitbull does stuff now still.
Yeah. So I want to play a little bit for it, if I may, here.
Oh, okay.
And I just want to see what you think of this live. Okay. So here we go. Know the song yet?
No, but I'm scared. Uh-oh. What were those phones I just heard? This is Africa? Pitbull covered Toto's Africa?
They tried to keep
rhythm. Oh, shit, this is horrible. Oh, God, this is so bad. Oh, Jesus Christ. I want to throw up.
That's enough. That's enough.
Oh, man, I fucking hate Pitbull.
I don't even know if we've heard. It's Tommy Santo featuring Pitbull.
He does some rap interlude, no doubt, or some bullshit.
Oh, my God. That is
horrendous.
That is the level of music in this film.
Okay, I almost threw up, and that now made this worse for me.
I don't even know what the end song is. The film finishes, this grandiose big moment, fucking Aquaman, yeah, and then we get soft cock pop song. I'm like, what the fuck is going on?
Yeah, that's like, it's bullshit.
Where
I've seen
is
that
the grandiose
before.
Score? Where's the kind of trailer music I opened with the episode? Who is making these decisions at fucking Warner Brothers?
You know what decision needs to be remade? Amber Heard's shitty hair. All right, so
you didn't like the red,
dude. There's red and there's this. Okay, Amber Heard's hair looked like, you know, if any of you ever had a blonde female friend and then she breaks up with her boyfriend and immediately turns her fucking hair red immediately. Only she didn't fucking pay a lot for it and she was in a hurry because she wanted to get better again. And then she did it herself, so now it looks like shit. That's what Amber Heard's hair looks like. It is the worst color. Treatment is bloody awful. Can't stand it.
I thought she was fine in the role. I thought her chemistry with Jason Momoa was completely lacking.
I mean, I knew she
even when they ate roses together.
Yeah, I wish I could keep this separate, but I know she's a gold digging whore, so it's like a bit of a. Like, I also already don't like her, so it's like, you know.
Okay, anyway. All right. Well, let's move into spoilers. We could discuss a couple of the plot beats to wrap up the review. And here we have it clearly delineated for you new listeners. Turn off now if you've not seen Aquaman. All right, so which plot point did you like the most?
Here's what I like the least. All right, here's what happens, everyone. Okay, in about sort of the end of the first act, beginning of the second act, Aquaman actually faces the villain of the piece, being his brother. Okay? They have a fight.
Yeah, it's about an hour in, I'd say.
Yeah, it's about an hour in. So it's kind of, middle of the second act, whatever, right? Aquaman gets his ass handed to him because he's not used to fighting underwater. And he has to be fucking rescued and escape, right?
In one of the most unconvincing sequences ever.
How did they would not have gotten away, everyone?
Nope.
So okay.
The entire city's fucking chasing him, and we have to go over the impenetrable walls, which they make a point of saying, but you said these walls are impenetrable. Shut up and let me drive. Like, that's a good answer.
Exactly. Also, it's a chick driving, man. What do you think's happening? All right, fine.
No.
It's fine. Bitch, please. Let's see, Paul is around that one.
That's why I just answered you with you. Again, sorry for new listeners.
I'm just fucking with you, everyone. Anyway, so yes, as I said, that happens, and now it's like, oh, we better fucking find a trident. It's like, well, they, you know what?
She'd mentioned the Trident before.
She had. No, that's not, the foreshadowing is not the problem. The problem is the fact that they're now going on some bullshit quest when he's already had a fight with this guy. And then obviously the rest of the movie, the big battle is the second fight he has.
I'll tell you.
Ultimately wins.
What worked for me was not the, as I said, National Treasure inspired Sahara sequence featuring that wonderful song featuring Pitbull. But it was when they got to the trench where it was, suddenly James Wan's horror sensibilities come straight to the top.
What happened?
When those creatures are jumping out of the trench.
Oh my God, that was
and
so...
attacking the boat.
Yeah, that was out of, that was really was, out of step
I'm
with
like,
the movie.
Jesus, fucking no, 5 and 6 year olds so are going to be like peeing their pants
yes,
over this sequence.
It got dark really quickly. Yeah. And I remember when I saw them like on that boat and all these fucking creatures come on yeah. them, which are really scary. I was like, wait, this doesn't feel like the same movie.
And then there's an awesome shot, a couple of awesome shots, that's, when he dives in with a okay, flare and that, all the things are chasing
you know
them
what?
Down.
That, I'll tell you what happened here. I'll bet you anything, right? James Wan has this beautiful picture in his head. This scene is going to happen where this guy descends
yep.
underwater and all these creatures follow him.
And only the flare is
yeah.
keeping
and then he goes to the writer, how do you write a scene around making that happen? And they go, oh, what if they get attacked by 100 assholes on a fucking boat? Done. All right? That's what happened. But it was so, it was just hung there. That scene, I was like, ugh, put me right out of it.
Oh, I like that scene.
You liked it.
That's a movie I'd like unto itself. Could we have a movie
see,
about those creatures
there,
attacking a
it's
boat?
Not, see, that's, it's not this movie.
Yeah, you're right. The whole film is disjointed. I'm not arguing against yeah. any of your complaints. I enjoyed that sequence. I enjoyed the big battle sequence in where were they? Sicily? No.
Some very sunny
some
place.
Coastal Italian town.
Yeah, yeah.
Which was beautifully put together and whatever else. And like you said, again, the direction is spot on through that. I did not really care for the completely obvious plot development that Nicole Kidman's Queen was still alive.
No, I actually, you know what? When it happened, I'm like, oh, I felt happy about it.
Oh, well.
Because it was something that took me away from this stupid quest bullshit that was annoying the crap out of me, right? And so I actually like all the Nicole Kidman bits. I like Nicole Kidman. I don't give a fuck. I like her.
I don't mind Nicole Kidman, and she's fine in this film. I think the de-aging on her is better because I think she is very young looking for her age anyway.
Yeah.
With all the
with all those talks and yes, whatnot, yes.
I'm sure, the surgery which has gone into keeping her looking that way. Woman hey. Looks younger than she was in 1991, I swear to God.
She's got a Keith Urban to keep, my friend. So
would we all be so lucky? Yeah. And then with the huge big battle sequence at the end, I will say that one got a little bit too bombastic, a little bit too over the top.
It was hard to tell who was fighting,
what's going on here.
The best thing about
Dolph
it was...
Lundgren apparently switches sides quicker than he does in, I don't know, The Expendables.
Well, can we just talk about Dolph Lundgren for a second? So he turns up on his fucking seahorse or whatever it is yep. that he's riding, right? And he's just having a conversation with his daughter, and it's just like, hey, it's Dolph Lundgren. And he's a bit ranger to make her,
yes.
to make him like his yep. her dad. But I just, I don't know, I felt oddly happy about seeing him.
No,
again.
It was good.
He looked well.
And he got to do a lot more. I kept expecting him to die every scene he was in. I thought that Patrick Wilson was going to turn around and fucking skewer him at any point, but he's lived through the whole film.
Really?
Yeah.
This is, side note, look up a TED talk where Dolph Lundgren gives a TED talk, right? And he talks about how Grace Jones and stuff like lured him into bed and shit and how his life is really cool.
Grace Jones lured him from Conan the Destroyer. I'm pretty sure Grace Jones would have just grabbed him.
Yeah, she just
taken him.
Yeah, taken him.
Yeah.
Sat on his face.
That's
yes.
an obscure joke. Deep cut.
I actually do get it. But yeah, so, but no, I just liked the Dolph Lundgrenness. I wasn't expecting him to be in there.
Yeah.
So.
And again, I thought he would be a bit part and go on. Willem Dafoe also pops up in this movie.
Yes.
And he was odd. He's very underutilized, and it seems like the only reason they got him in was because of these, again, de-aged flashbacks to training Aquaman, which I guess you need to some level to show how he becomes this badass that
he
is.
How did he learn to fight?
But on the other hand, that really slowed the pacing of the film down.
That's what happened. These things were all peppered throughout that between second and third act kind of thing, which is what I was like. I was actually waiting for the movie to end. I was actually waiting for it to end. So that's a huge problem. Right?
Whatever the big creature was, it was guarding the Trident. Was it like the Kraken, but it was like
it was an odd thing.
It was
an odd thing. Look, I think that, you know what, when the actual movie looked great, I kept thinking Avatar when I was looking at them underwater.
There's some Avatarness to it.
So the whole thing where it's like, yeah, our eyes adjust to the thing and everything's bright. I love that. I love looking at that shit. That's basically, what's it called, that bloody Ang Lee movie, motherfucking...
Life of Pi.
That's one, right? So I love all that shit. So that was cool. The problem with it was the pace and the structure of the movie.
I had no problem with the pacing, nor really structure. I think the script is dog shit. I think the dialogue is awful. I think everybody else is underutilized. And Black Manta is one of the most ridiculous characters ever played.
He should have not been in it. He should have either been all about Black Manta or all about the fucking other guy.
But it's just fun. This film is fun. I will say it's too much in places. Like the moment the fucking octopus is
octopus with
the drums.
Like, I was wondering about that.
Come on.
That was a little bit much.
Yeah. So it basically just says, fuck everything else before it. This is, at the end of the day, it's Warner Brothers and the DCEU, Jeff Johns, realizing, fuck, we can't beat Marvel at their own game. No, we need to wholeheartedly embrace what they've been doing for 10 years and just make the film fun.
I agree.
And, which is ironic because, of course, we just had the darkest Marvel film ever in Infinity War.
Yeah.
But they finally worked it out. Had they started this way and not let Zack Snyder make it this dour and depressing, horrible universe, we might be in a very different situation now, 3 years later.
This is the tipping point, man. Like, we had all those dark James Bond movies, we had all of it, and then fucking Kingsman comes along. I think people have been depressed for long enough, and now they're looking for a little bit of fucking hope.
Could be. You know. All right, anything else you want to say about Aquaman, Wayne, to wrap up today's review?
No, I'm pretty clean on that.
Give us a score then. Looks like I might be scoring it higher, but then again, you grade much more generously than I do. We score out of 100 on this show. Wayne, what's your score for Aquaman?
65.
Oh, I'm giving it 60.
Motherfucker, still, see, don't lie at the beginning saying you like a motherfucker when you drop a 60 on it. What kind of bullshit is this? What the fuck?
I liked it. It's a pass. It's a good film. It's an enjoyable film. It's not a good
film. Imagine if Paul was your professor, everyone. Imagine if he was your toot guy, all right?
Ironically, I've had this conversation with a complete cunt.
I bet you're a complete ass sandwich.
Look, one of you got really good feedback about their classes they taught, and that same person was criticized for how harsh they were with their grade.
Exactly. This teacher, Mr. Prezula, he said I was great, but then he called me a cunt.
All right, that's our review of Aquaman. Oddly enough, it is a recommend. It's nice to end the year on. This is the last review we're doing for 2018, even though it comes out in early 2019. Our review, that is, the film has been out for quite some time. Yeah, get out and see it. If you're at all on the fence.
If you like all this shit, you'll like this enough.
If you're at all on the fence after, I mean, Wonder Woman was a good film. And if we talked about the top DCEU films, this is not the best for me, but it's way better than Batman vs. Superman. It's way better than Justice League. So that's good enough for me.
It is better than... It's more enjoyable than Justice League. Justice League sucked.
Justice League did suck. There you go. All right, that's our review of Aquaman. Let us know what you think. If you had a different opinion, we would love to hear it. Thank you so much for joining us on this first ever standalone review for the Countdown Movie and TV Reviews podcast. You can hit us up on Twitter at @TheCountdownPC. Our email is countdownpodcast@gmail.com. And you can follow us interact with us on Podbean as well. We have a Facebook listener community which you can join. Link is in the show notes. And as we lead up to episode 200, don't forget, send us your top 10 favorite films of all time so we can add it to our ever-expanding, growing list. And we will be doing the top 10 or 20, we haven't decided yet, films that you, the listeners, have decided for episode 200.
That'll be cool.
It's going to be a lot of fun.
That's cool.
All right, cheers. Thanks so much for joining us today. My name is Paul.
My name is Wayne. We'll see you kids real soon.
We'll catch you next time. And this has been The Soundboard.
Eat my ass! Eat all the S's, man!
If any of you guys are new, he does this fucking bullshit. I don't know what it's about.
We'll catch you next time.
If you love this podcast, then head over to comicconpod.com to check out the other incredible shows on our network.
Whether you love comedy, pop culture, or movie and TV reviews, CC Radio has got you covered.
In fact, that Pitbull pops up with a cover of a classic
Pitbull
song.
Pitbull does stuff now still.
Yeah, so I want to play a little bit for it, if I may, here.
Oh, okay.
And I just want to see what you think of this live, okay? So here we go. Advert.
Dude, YouTube Premium, give it a try. Part.